So I am with Heck, aka Ben Lucas Boysen, in Lyon for the Redeem Collision Festival and also for the 10 years anniversary of Annoisium. Thank you very much, Ben, for being here, and I hope you're having a great time in France at the moment.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, actually. It's been beautiful.
Okay. Well, first of all, I would like to ask you, because I've seen a few articles, but I never found what Heck means, actually.
Comes down to my incapability of thinking good names. It comes from what the heck, like change the K and added the Q, and that's all. It's as easy as that, actually.
It often comes from stupid things, usually.
Exactly,
so,
yeah.
So I guess you've been playing yesterday for your first time ever in France, was it?
Absolutely, yes,
yes. The first time.
And that's why I was very excited, also because the back-to-back set with Mata was a premiere, because I never played with somebody at the same time, and neither did they. So it was a premiere for both of us, and tons of fun. We're still bedazzled. Thanks for that, and to you, Franz. It was good. And it's going to be the same tonight.
Yeah, we hope so. And like, how did you find the French audience? Like, the public is a nasty public or nice? And how was it?
It was really stunning. That might sound like a thing to say if you premiere somewhere, but it really was amazing. They were lovely and forgiving, because we had, obviously, for a premiere, there were a few fuck-ups. Excuse me. Well, like missing transition, little things, but for a musician, important things. And they actually anticipated these bricks as well. Wonderful. Cool. And it was really, really, really good. So, yeah, very nice people. Very nice people.
How was the thing with Mata also? Like, it was a premiere, but actually, what are you doing? Are you playing some Heck song and some Mata song? And, like, is there somebody changing something from the other one? Or how is it functioning, basically?
Yeah, that was actually the plan. So that we play our stuff, or well, our DJ sets back to back, like not necessarily exclusively our stuff. Same with tonight, like won't be exclusively our own stuff, but that was the idea. So we had technical problems and we didn't get the computers to sync. We tried MIDI, we tried Ethernet, we tried everything, won't work. So we decided to let I do 40 minutes and they do they do 40 minutes.
Well, let's talk a little bit about you and your new album. I just launched your new album Avenger on Hymen Records, and like, I probably have a boring question, but anyway, and like, you're changing a lot of your style since your Sura EP on Annoisium. Here again with Avenger, it's much more clubby and dubstep and less ambient and IDM as before. The album is really well received by the critics and the people, but like, they're also an old part of you listeners that I've seen were a little bit disappointed by this new changing.
It's
because
a mild way of saying it.
Yeah, but I mean, like, because the all this trend of criticizing dubstep and everything goes with it, and like, how is you're feeling about when you receive these feedbacks from some of your listeners?
Right. Well, you can, like, with every new album, you can't expect everybody to follow. But I mean, depending on the drasticness, the change, and I must say, it was a fun thing to do. I just wanted to do that.
Anyway,
so doesn't mean that. I think there will one EP coming soon that will be in the same style, and probably that's it then. That's going back to ambient after that, or to IDM, or to pretty much everything else. It's really open. But I also understand that it's very, very hard. Like, if you focus on something, because I made the experience myself with people I love to listen to, if they drastically change their style, I just can't say, okay, I can't follow that anymore. I have to listen to either the old stuff or to something else from somebody else. You can't protect yourself from that. So in a way, I must say I can't care too much. I will compromise the idea that Heck is about. Like, critics are a tricky thing.
Yeah.
Obviously, they don't have something against you as a person, but your music is a personal thing. So you perceive that or perceive it.
Yeah.
But I must say, there's no such thing as a bad critic.
And how can you keep on producing music if to get touched by everything.
Exactly.
You need to give it up and keep on going.
That is what you have to live with, I guess. So no bad blood.
But anyway, do you have like a big desire of brutality in your music? Actually, the last album is still it's still cinematic in some point. Mm. And we still find this back. But also the kicks and everything is, I was wondering, what's happening in his mind? He needs to kick the bass, like.
No, it's more the. I like energy. It's not meant to be evil, literally, or brutal. Mm-hmm. I mean, yes, it is brutal because it's loud. It could be assaulting, but it's not intended to be. My perception of these tracks is that they should be as energetic as possible, as charged as possible, mm-hmm. but not necessarily dark. Because personally, I'm a very light-hearted person. It's on the sunny side. Menacing and assaulting music is the best thing there is. Along with complete ambient and classical and minimal, so it's weird. Like, I'm a borderline composer.
That's good because you explore some mm-hmm. part of this. Mm-hmm. I know you're a little bit, you're pretty much influenced like by people like Arvo Pärt or Mirko, for some ambient works.
Yes.
Like for the tension they can bring in in their music.
Absolutely.
And I was wondering, with this new thing coming for you, with this new music, do you have some also big influences, not obliged coming from dubstep, or some people.
That is an excellent question, because I must say, at home I hardly listen to any electronic music. The only pure electronic stuff track, it was only one track that I listened to extensively over the last months, mm-hmm. was a Clark remix for Maximo Park. The years back I was exclusively listening to electronic stuff, and I think it's much, like for me, it's more interesting to listen to everything else. So no, there are no direct role models. Well, Clark would be one, but I'm more listening to all kinds of music to get the message of the pending music and the idea and the structures. And then go back to the sub bass line and try to work that in there, like try to get the meta shape. It's stylistically completely unimportant, but
and you sometimes don't even know why you like music. Sometimes it sounds but it touches you.
Right, exactly, and that is all it has to do. Mm. And the weird thing is that Avenger's not even aiming at that. It's not an emotional album. It's really a club album. So it's hard to bring that in the same context. The approach and the basic idea is always to get the meta information of a piece of music and be inspired by that.
What's coming along for you at the moment? Like I've seen, like you've realized your first soundtrack for a movie, Rest Eve, or something.
Yes, yes.
Can you talk a little bit about this and like what's the movie about? How do you get with this? Like you've been experienced already to work on some short films or other, but for a long film, I don't know. How
no,
is it?
No, absolutely not. That was as absolute premiere for me. I never did this kind of work before, but I was always aiming for that. So that is, in the end, that higher goal anyway. Like that is where I want to be at, and I can tell you how amazed and happy I was when this. Ooh. It is a very special. I won't say niche movie in a way, probably.
Yes, yes.
So it is. It's not for the people that would expect Transformers. It's very dark. It's very bleak.
I've
it's a movie about.
Mention a bit of David Lynch also.
Because structurally it's not very easy to get, which was also affecting the music. But you have like different timelines and a very small cast. Mm-hmm. I don't want to give away too much of the movie because it might be winning an Oscar next year. No, I have no idea. I really don't know. But
and about the music, like the director talked to you and said, gave you a bit of freedom, and like did he ask you some interpretation?
Yeah, exactly. I couldn't have had more freedom, to be honest, because he called me and hired me because he heard certain things and said, like, I want you to score that movie. Uh-huh. The story is. Is a David Lynch-y kind of domestic violence thing. So very intimate story. So no Hans Zimmerish greatness required. And the only thing we agreed on in discussions and calls were the instrumentation, what kind of instruments do we want to use. Everything, he left that to me. So we would be talking every couple of months over a year. Cool. Oh, well, a couple of weeks. So we talked a lot.
When is it out? Like, I mean,
it premiered last Monday in London at the... I forgot the festival name. Damn. I don't know that much about niche festivals,
like, yes.
but that's also something like you never too old to discover something. So I was there too, and it was really good, like to sit there with a couple of friends and the director and just to watch this year's hard work in a cinema. It's wonderful. Yeah, it was really good.
Sounds good. Do you have some more? I haven't seen that much things new with you and Rob Shu and Christopher Hewitt. Is there some more things coming with Devoid of Yesterday?
I think directly as Devoid of Yesterday, because we were just so caught up. All three of us didn't notice how much time passed. We're all working together, but rarely as a triangle of love. So we're working a lot together, but there's more stuff to come, definitely, from both Chris, Rob and me.
I have a last question.
Yes.
It's a little bit personal, actually.
Absolutely.
Something that I really like in your music, in your discography, there's something often coming back that I love, is you sometimes bring rain sound. I have some memories of Golden Pines or Bad Karma, especially one song that I absolutely love. It's called Lost. For me, it's a beautiful tribute to rain, and I love this, and I would like to know if rain is something really inspiring for you. And once I was thinking this music could be a perfect music for dying. And I remember you said once in an interview for Solipsistic Nations that this music has been played for your father's funeral,
exactly,
something like this.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa, I guess this music has then a big importance.
Oh, yeah. Well, the fact that this was played at... Well, no, first of all, the rain thing. I just love rain. There's not much more to it.
Yeah,
it's just a very good...
answer.
Exactly. You know, you're sitting there. Like, for example, here, you look through these big panorama windows, and right now it's raining, more or less. But you could really pour down and just sit there and have a talk. Or, like, you know, rain sometimes forces you to just stay inside and to not do much but focus on yourself, and you know, and or it could be very friendly too. It could be like a brilliant summer. It's perfect. I just it's weird. It just has a very versatile message in a way. Like, it's versatile functions.
Yeah.
I can't really explain it without getting too cryptic, because I'm... It's actually an interesting question. I haven't thought about that myself, other than I really like it. There is a track, I forgot its name, by Illusions of Safety, an old ambient project. Probably it's not that old, sorry. And I have the CD for ages, so for me it's old. It is highly interesting because it's mostly a drone thing for at least 12 minutes.
Wow.
The track is entirely like 25 minutes or 28 minutes. It starts with an orchestra tuning, like, you know, the quint, like just playing the quint for at least 5 minutes. So it's almost not very
melodic.
Pleasing. Yeah, exactly. But over the duration, you just get like, wow. And then this changes into a mild drifting thunderstorm for at least 20 minutes.
Wow.
Just hear that.
Illusions of Safety.
Yeah, exactly. The CD it's on is called Off and The. It's a double CD. The one CD is Off, the other is The. Oh. It is amazing. And I love that piece because it does exactly that. You hear this slight rumbling in the distance, and it's basically just a very good field recording, that track. There's not more to it. But the fact that he just does nothing but let that play for 20 minutes, no compositional work at all, just the really compositional tension is in that transition between the orchestra and that thing, which is this orchestra dying and the orchestra
perfectly. Okay.
Absolutely. The fact that was played at my father's funeral was just, we had a lot of music exchange, and when I started introducing our Chinese music team when I was 12, 13, he just said, he well, let's say he was absolutely not a fan, and I said, I will make you learn about that, and I want to introduce that to him. And also, like, the dialogue itself was just was very helpful for him and me, mm-hmm. just educational work. Mm-hmm. Well, he was sick for a long time, so when he said, at some point he said, I want that mm-hmm. song mm-hmm. played at my funeral. And that was a huge honor. And when that day came and it was played at his funeral, mm-hmm. it was stunning, because really touching for me, because it summed up all the years. Not because you would say, like, okay, I was right or something. No, it is. It was like a statement, a testament to the yeah. dialogue. I mean, how final could that be? Yeah. Like, it's probably the last piece of music you chose mm. for yourself. Mm. And then he's just like, you know what, son? There you go. And this is, I will never forget that, obviously, for a lot of reasons. But it's interesting that you say that probably he thought the same. Like, it's interesting that you said his music for dying.
Thank you very much, Ben.
Thank you.
Answering my question, I hope the movie Resty is going to be well received. I hope your music production is going to be well, and your triangle of love with the other guys will keep on going. Thank you very much.
Thank you.